Hello?
How are you?
Has joined.
Good, good. Sorry about that. Today has just been like, oh my gosh, I thought for sure I'd be like 5 minutes late, and look at this.
It's quite all right. As I said on my text, I can multitask. I generally have lots of things I can do, so it's not a problem.
Good. Thank you.
So, are you open? We can start reading, or do you want to talk about something else first?
Yeah, I want to just ask you a quick question about something, which was, so I usually, like, end my prayer usually, in other words, after I pray and I say the Shema, and I'm talking in the morning, I say the Shema, and then I end my prayer. After I finish, I always do, like, a little meditation, prayer, whatever. I just kind of, like, meditate and visualize all the things, like the family being healthy and this and that and the other, right? And then, at the end, I always, of course, thank before and after, but I thank God for everything and this and that. And I always use the word gratitude. And I used to do the word gratitude, like gratitude. I used to do gratitude in front of me, gratitude behind me, gratitude to the right of me, gratitude to the left of me, gratitude above me, gratitude below me, gratitude within me, gratitude all around me, okay? I don't know if that's even any good. That's just invented. But then, after the lulav, I said, oh, I'm going to do it like the lulav. Does that make any sense or no? Like, gratitude to the right of me, gratitude to the left of me, gratitude before me, gratitude above me, gratitude below me, gratitude behind me, gratitude within me, and gratitude all around me. Does that make sense or not, or is it something silly I'm inventing?
Well, it's not, you're not inventing it, because people have talked about it in their various sages.
Really?
Yeah, there is nothing new under the sun. You need to understand that. So,
right.
But what you're...
You just downloaded it, right?
Say again?
You just download it. You download information.
Yeah, no, you connect to the soul of the person who first did that or first wrote about it, and you're picking up that connection.
Okay, cool.
So
that's good then.
The question is, are you surrounding yourself with the energy of gratitude?
Right. That's what I do.
Exactly. And that's a good thing to do, because gratitude will give you a protection shield, and that's what you want. So
right. That's what I want, yes.
The order of doing that relates to the order we shake the lulav has a purpose that is with respect to the chesed, not to gratitude. Gratitude is connected to hod. So it's not a bad thing to do it in either order that you're doing, because the result is the same. Because you're creating a protection shield of gratitude around you. So whichever way you want to do that. But there is I'd have to look it up, but there is an order of directions that's associated with the Sefirah of Hod. And so gratitude being connected to the inner essence of Hod, it would be better to do that in that order.
I'm losing you. I don't know why. It goes in and out all the time. I don't know why. Are you hearing me well?
I hear you fine, but I'm on a speakerphone.
Okay.
And
now
it's closer to me. But it's essentially there is a sequence of directions that is connected to Hod. And I don't know it off from my memory, but I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
when I do that, I'll send you the directions of the sequence of directions for you to make
okay.
that.
Okay, but so it is so it is Hanukkah good to say to use the word gratitude or to say the Hes. In other words, gratitude, but connecting to Hesed. Is that what you're saying? Or gratitude is fine, just that I use gratitude and do it in the order that you tell me.
Yes, use the word gratitude and then change the order to what I send to you when I have time to look it up.
Okay, perfect. No rush on that. I just, since we did the lulav, I thought, it must be the way the lulav. I don't know why I thought that was what it was, but, because I think it's so incredible how you do the lulav, and it has its specific way of doing it and the direction. So, like you're saying, I'm sure there's a special way to do this too.
Exactly, there is. I just don't have it off the top of my head because each sephirah is
a different order. Right. No. And there's no rush on this. This is just a curiosity. Actually, it was a curiosity.
All right.
Thank you. And so, so go ahead, and if you want, do that.
Okay, I will do that and sometime this week, and I'll send it to you by text.
Okay.
I mean,
if you want, go ahead. There's no rush on that. I mean, if you want, go ahead, and we'll do the... We stopped in page 11, if I wrote it...
We didn't quite finish the last two paragraphs of that section, but at the bottom of page 11, there's a new section, and so it's probably better if you want to read those two sections. They're really just acknowledging the things we've spoke about last week.
Okay, so look what we'll do then. What happens is I'm in the car, and I'll be home in like maybe 3 minutes. But if you want, we'll talk, and then I'll just change anyway, because it was really odd this time. It had all these things it was asking me for. And I'll call you from the house, and I have my computer open, so it's very easy. Does that make sense, or you want me? Or I can look on my phone, actually. I can do that, too.
Well, I don't want you to chill on to be driving, so it's up to you.
You don't want... I think it's better because I hear you better from home too than here.
Okay. Well, I'm probably far away, but I could bring it closer and that'll solve that problem. But you
whatever. Anyway.
We can keep talking for the 2-3 minutes and then when you're home we'll start.
Okay, perfect. And what else was I gonna ask you? I did want to ask you, Hanukkah, about what, what do we believe, when was the world created? Because according to the Bible, or the Torah, or I don't know, it's 10,000 years, but the world has, or the earth, or whatever, has many, many more, much longer than that. And I know you've said there's been a few creations already. So why do they all, in other words, how long has it been since it's been created? Are we supposed to be believing, or is that just the Christians that believe that?
Well, there's a lot of Jewish people who believe it also. But first off, I want to talk to you about using the word belief.
Okay.
Because belief is saying you don't know for sure.
Right.
And that
right.
means there's an element of doubt.
Right.
But there is
right.
no element of doubt in God. God knows.
Right.
And so
right.
you know, we strive not to say belief. Now, in normal conversation with people, if you say, I know God, they're ready to lock you up.
Right, exactly, right.
So in normal conversation, you can use belief if you must. but try and avoid it as much as possible. Because
okay.
whenever
okay.
you say belief, you're connecting to doubt. And we don't want to ever connect to doubt.
No. Okay. And especially in these cases, right?
Say again?
Especially like you never say, I believe in Hashem. You would say, I know
you
Hashem.
You know Hashem. Yeah. He's part of your life. You know?
Yes, exactly. Right, right.
You
right.
know, and,
we know
and it can even be that your husband is uncomfortable with it, so you'll be cautious with that. But if he's okay with it, then that's the way you even speak to him and to your family. You know God,
yeah.
you don't use belief. But some people you have to be aware that, you know, you never want them thinking that you're going off the loony bin. And so
right.
you have to be aware and be, you know, conscious of that. Because
right.
for some people, how can you know God? Because he's not visible, you know. But the truth
right.
is you don't have to see God visible to know him.
Yes,
you just
absolutely.
Know, you learn through experience that he runs the world.
Exactly.
And then you start using the word, I know God.
Okay, okay.
But to answer your question, there are seven 7,000-year periods.
Right.
We're in the second of those 7,000 years.
Yes, I remember that you told me that. Okay. That was very interesting. I mean, that's
okay.
very, like incredible.
It is. I agree. But now, science tells us it's the universe is 13.5 billion years old. Now, why do they do that? They don't know any more than we know. 7,000 years is the time of this creation. Why don't we know, and they? Why do they seem they're certain, but they're really not? Because what
yeah.
they are measuring is the distance a photon of light travels from a distant star that they
right.
can see.
Right.
That photon, the furthest out of a photon that they can see with a telescope, is 13.5 billion light years. So they're by measuring that distance, they're saying that's how old the universe is. But every time they improve the visual of sight, they used to be that they could only see 5 billion years out. But then they improved the telescopes, and now they can see 10 billion years out. And then they put the telescope in space, and it was clearer, so they could get to 13.5 billion years.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere before that, they were saying it was 15 billion years, because that was their estimate. So what is the truth? We don't know how long a year is for Hashem. So when we say there's 7,000 years, the first 2 years did not have the Torah. The first 2,000 years, the flood happened in the year 1648.
Right.
The Torah was given in 2448.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that's a year that is a normal year for us today, or it's a metaphor that God uses because he's speaking in the language of men. And so those first 2,000 years could be 5 billion years in our normal years now. We don't know.
Right.
So it's not in conflict. It's just using the same word with different definitions.
Right. So that's the
now,
thing.
When did the year really become a year like we know a year? And the answer to that is once the Torah was given, that's mm-hmm. when we started counting. Clearly, uh-huh. each year represents a year.
All right.
But a Hebrew year is not the same as a solar year.
Right, right.
The Hebrew year is 11 days shorter.
Right.
So again, it's still metaphorical because we're right. talking about Hebrew years, not solar years, but right. yet there is a relationship, and we adjust the solar year, the Hebrew year, to equal the solar years 7 times in every 19-year cycle.
Right.
So the real issue that we have to ask when someone says, well, there's a conflict. The Bible says 7,000. The Bible says, you know, 7,000 years, and it's really 13 and a half billion years. How do we reconcile that? And the answer is, define time for me. And as soon as they define time for you, they're going to say it's a second is some, you know, some decay of some uranium type or radium type
right.
material. And uh-huh. you say, okay, that's your definition of time, but how do you know that definition of decay is the same as it was 5,000 years ago? Maybe it was faster, maybe it was slower. Because time, sometimes I feel like the day went by so fast, and the other days I feel, what am I doing? It's so plodding along here. Because time, our feeling about time is not truly measured.
Yeah.
Because what is time to a Kabbalist is the distance between a human action and the return of that action. Meaning,
right.
if I do a positive action, I'm going to receive positive back. If I do
right.
negative action, I'm going to receive negative back.
Right.
Well, how long will that time be? And it's different for every action. Sometimes
right.
it happens the same day. Sometimes it's tomorrow. Sometimes it's a week from now. Sometimes it's a month from now. Sometimes it's 10 years from now. Sometimes it's next lifetime.
Wow.
So when you understand time is the distance between cause, the human action, and effect, the effect of that action, all of a sudden there's no conflict between what the Bible says and what science says. And there can never be any conflict. There can only be, we haven't reconciled the differences because the definitions are different and nobody's talking about the definitions.
Okay. But Hanosha, is that the same as when the people in the Torah used to live 800 years, and it's like that too?
Exactly. Methuselah lived 969 years. The lifetime of people in those generations was 1,000 years. So in our lifetime, in the Middle Ages, people's lifetimes was 35 years, 40 years.
Right.
Today, it's grown longer, and it's now 120, or maybe 190, because some of the Kabbalists say it's grown, gotten even, the potential of our lifetime is longer than 120 years.
Right.
But we do know people are living to be 112, 114 years old.
Yeah, of course. Can I interrupt you one second? I just, my husband wants to ask me something. Excuse me.
Sure.
One second. Tú mira a ver como quieras. I'm so sorry.
Not a problem.
Okay, and I'm home anyway and I can read. I was going to ask you one more thing. So, yeah, that makes so much more sense. But now, there's one thing that I want to know. There's no death?
Death is an illusion.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The soul does not die.
Uh-huh.
The body dies because the soul left the body.
Right.
The body is not truly dead, because if you put the soul back in the body lives again.
Right, right.
And righteous people, tzaddikim, their soul doesn't leave their body.
Right.
Well, that's not really true. Their soul has taught their body how to live forever, just like
wow.
the body does. And so
wow.
that's why we have tzaddikim, that their body is, if you open their grave, and this took place
yeah.
in the Second World War, the
yeah.
Germans would touch the body and it was warm. And they got just
yeah.
freaked them out. They ran away.
Sure. But I know.
But our tzaddikim, you know, their soul is not there, but the body has been taught how to live forever. And so it all continues to live. But it's not living in the physical world of our earth. It's living in the grave.
Right. So tzaddikim don't have to eat.
Correct. They're connected to Hashem directly. And so they're feeding, that they're receiving the energy that Hashem is giving them, is sharing with them. And they're utilizing that energy through their fingernails and their toenails, because those parts of the body never died. Those parts were the skin of Adam and Eve.
Right. Oh, wow. So that's what we're striving to do, to be able to do that. And that's what we're striving to do, if we ever...
That's correct. What is our purpose on earth? It's to make a home for Hashem on this earth. And to do that, we have to clean out the dirt. Not the dirt of the earth, but the impurity.
Right.
But when you clean out the impurity of your body, it becomes holy, and it doesn't have to die.
Oh.
And how do we create a home for Hashem in this earth? By cleansing our body, by removing the impurity within our body, so there's mm-hmm. space in our heart for Hashem.
Right. And that's why you say it's by studying Torah.
Exactly. That's why you do mitzvot, that's why you do good deeds, and that's why
mm-hmm.
you study Torah. But you can, you know, studying Torah, it helps to remove the impurity, but you have to do actions to remove the impurity. You have
right.
to stop being reactive. You have to stop getting angry at things. You have
mm-hmm.
to learn. Your soul knows how to not be reactive, but your
yeah.
body doesn't. Your body is a mechanism of reactions. And we are in this earth to learn how to control the body and how to teach the body to be pure.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a good thing. So, but you know, is there... I understand. Okay, so, and you said there's going to be seven creations, right? So we've only had two, and there's going to be five more.
There are some of the Tzaddikim, some of the sages, who say that this one is so long that the Mashiach didn't come, and the pain of this world is so intense that it's sufficient, and we don't have to go through the other five.
Oh, God, really?
But most of the Tzaddikim say that we do need to still go through some portion of the other five. We don't know how much.
Right. But there, in other words, there is no way. What is so, like, the only part that I kind of understood is that the only thing, one time I read something in Kabbalah that I remember that made sense to me was the reason why God created the world is because he wanted to know himself better or herself better. And in order to know that, through our learning, we kind of give back. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and, it makes sense. These are different metaphors to help different souls understand the creation and why the creation and all of the creation, all these different questions. Every soul, relative to each soul, what will affect them to connect to Hashem? So what you read that may not have made sense to you at the time, but it may make sense to you in another lifetime. Or it may never make sense to you because other teachings from other sages will speak to you and will make sense to you.
Right.
It's always relative to the soul. So
right.
what you were just asking me, does it make sense? The answer is yes, but it doesn't need to make sense to you.
Right.
But if you want me to try and explain it, I'll be happy to.
Yes, I do. It does make sense to me, actually. It was the only thing that did make sense to me is what I said, what I meant. I don't know if I said it incorrectly. The only thing that has made sense to me is that, because that what would be, I understand all the thing that, you know, that God wanted to share, so he created a vessel, and the vessel, you know, and then he gave us, and then we wanted to share, be godly like God, and so the vessel broke, and then we're doing kind of the same. But the part about that, it makes sense to me, because if not, what is the reason if God anyway, it's like
what is the reason that God created the earth? Why? What is the reason God created man? There are many different metaphors, but ultimately, we're not God yet.
No,
until we're God, until we as human species are God, we can never understand his motivation. We can never answer the question, why did God create the world? It's frustrating to not be able to answer it.
Right.
But that frustration is part of growing. If you give a child everything that it wants, does it ever learn to cope in the world?
No, there's no purpose.
It has to learn frustration. It has to experience frustration so it can learn how to cope with frustration. And yet, we all want to know, why did God create the world? But how do you handle that? If I say to you, you could never know it by as long as you're an individual, you'll never be able to know it. Are you going to accept that from me? Yeah, I'm your teacher, but that doesn't mean you're still going to accept it from me. Because I tell you, you have to decide for yourself. It's truth for me, but it may not be truth for you. So the question is, why did God create the world? For me, I don't know, and I cannot know until all of us unify,
right,
and we become like God.
Right.
Will human beings ever create another species? We're touching on it now in our science. We're manipulating DNA, which creates another species. Can we get to the point where we could put together a body and then inject a soul into it? We're very far from that, and we may never be able to do that. But that would make us like God, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, a little bit scary, I think, actually.
Very scary, especially with the motivations of human beings today.
That's exactly.
But if you were pure, like God.
Of course, then it would be fine.
And so, I mean, obviously that's not going to happen very soon.
No,
and that's why we need. That's why I'm of the opinion we need to go through these more 5,000, 7,000 year periods.
But in Bereshit, like I read the Torah on Shabbat, right? And,
right.
And God says there that he repent, that he changes, he se arrepintió, I don't know how you say in English, he changed his mind about having created the world, having created man, right? Not the world, maybe, but man or something. And so when you think about that, so how can that? See, that's why of course there's the Kabbalah behind that, because that makes no sense, because God would have known beforehand that he shouldn't have created man.
Exactly. But, he didn't change his mind.
No.
It's part of the process.
Right.
Of becoming frustrated and doing it. I'm reading Noah this week. Every morning at 10 a.m. for a half hour, I read the Aliyah for that day of the portion for the week.
Right.
And it's on the same line, if you want, you know, same phone line if you want to join us.
And I can't.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's just be aware that it's there if you ever have the time at that time.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, of course, because you give the explanation that to me makes that I understand better, at least you know, that makes more sense.
It makes more sense for now. And that what will happen is you grow spiritually, you will come back to this question, and the answer that works for you today won't work for you then. And
right,
then so you'll dig deeper and you'll find another explanation for you to understand.
Right.
But when God did not change his mind, but man had to go through these different processes. And what I read on Monday in the Parasha Noah, What it was is the negativity of the earth, because it was all based on judgment. It was all based on the left column being developed.
Mm.
And that influenced man to be doing negative actions. So what I came to understand just this week is that God foresaw when he created man, as the angel said, man will sin. And God said, yes, but I developed teshuvah for them. God knew that this is what was necessary for the development of man.
Mm-hmm.
He had to create the world and then totally cleanse it. And I literally just read an essay. Let me see if I can. It's very short. Let me read it to you because I just copied it.
Thank you.
It into my email for next year or the year after when it's appropriate.
Oh, wow.
It's titled The Rainbow, and it's something from Chabad. You may have seen it. Our world is a world where a rainbow could be. At first, there was a world that only received and returned no dividends. Its inhabitants took no ownership. They lived with their creator's benevolence. They did what they did with no need for excuses, and eventually died as they died. And that was it. With the flood, this world was recreated. The earth was cleansed, the atmosphere purified. It became a world that could take the sunshine that poured in from above and refracted into many colors. It became a world where a created being could be born, take the soul, the body, share of the world and all the sustenance its maker gave to it, use that, do something with that, and then return it, saying, "See what I have done with that which you gave me." And so God vowed to never destroy the world again. For if the inhabitants would go wrong, they might always turn around and clean up their own mess. That just came, really clarified all of my questionings for now.
Yes. That's very...
God did not change his mind. He created a world that had to develop along the lines that he would then cleanse that world.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't destroy the world. The earth still existed. It still went around the sun. But people died. They were cleansed. But then they were resurrected. They were reborn.
Right.
So it's a beautiful short essay of describing this action and answering your question. Why did God change his mind? He didn't.
He didn't. Right. I know that he didn't, but I didn't know what, in other words, but I don't know why. In other words,
have an explanation for why did it have to be destroyed or why did it have to be cleansed, because we shouldn't use the word destroyed. Why did it have to be cleansed? And the answer is because of the energy of judgment that was associated with those 10 generations, every generation became that much more negative.
Right.
Why? Because the environment around you influences us.
Because of what you said, we're further from God, there's more people, we don't see well, and we have more free will, and we have, so that gives us more free will, and we can stick in our foot more often, you know, make mistakes more often.
Exactly correct.
But that, you know, sometimes I just, I really feel, to me, COVID is a Noah's flood. And in a way that I always feel like it's just cleaning up people. Some people want to leave, or it's the time that they've had enough, or they want to get out, or maybe God is saying, okay, it's time for you to get out, and cleaning the earth. This is the way it's cleaning it, is with COVID. Do you think that?
Absolutely correct.
Because to me, it's a very benign, even it's such a, it's a terrible thing, but it's very benign in the sense that what if we had, like, at least, thank God, it doesn't attack little children as much. I know there are, but less. It's like more, it's kind of, I think a lot of people want to check out, you know? Like, they're tired, you know? People are tired. But also, I feel like, how are we going to get out of here? And then I was reading about this woman that talks about that there's two worlds and that there's one old one and one new one that's being created. And where in the new one, you know, some people will go to the new one, and it's really where your intention is.
And others won't.
Exactly. And others won't.
Do you remember that when we left Egypt, 80% of the children of Israel would not leave, so they died in the plague of darkness.
Oh, wow.
And it's exactly the same idea, but it's not going to be that everybody dies. As you see, it's a very small percentage of the people who are dying.
Right.
The majority of the people are still growing. So, you know, the Mashiach may come tonight, but if he doesn't, it's still, we're all going to continue to grow, and other people will start to be better. If you look around, you see the world is becoming more light-filled, but it also is so chaotic that it's hard to see that. And so people will look and say it's very dark, it's very negative. But in reality, it's becoming lighter than it was.
Yes. I think that too. I don't know, Hanoi. I just wish we hadn't fallen so far back.
Well,
you know, remember that we.
I would agree with that sentiment. That's for sure.
The truth is,
we live in the worst Egypt of any generation. Your husband, he's Jewish. I'm not criticizing your husband. I'm just describing.
Right.
He's Jewish, but he doesn't do all of the things that he needs to do.
Right.
Now, it could be that he doesn't do those things because he did them in earlier generations and he doesn't need to do them anymore.
Right. But you know something? You know, it's incredible, but he has been doing much, much more all the time, more and more and more. Even the sukkah, he built it and it was his idea. And he's been doing more and more and more when before he didn't. So I'm pretty amazed about everything in that sense. Now, he does it his way, you know, like I do things my way.
Right. But you're having an influence upon him. That's really what's happening.
I think
because
so. I think
human beings are influenced by what is around them. They don't see the energies around them.
Right.
We see some of them when we become spiritual, when we get a sense of them. But we don't clearly see what's around us.
Right.
But by you being around him, you bring the mitzvot that you do reveals light, and it causes him to change himself.
Yes. And not only that.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go.
No, it's, go ahead.
No, I was saying that, if you have to go, it's time for you to go. Because it's already 9 after. I see what happened was that because of COVID, he had to stay home. And by staying home, he did feel another energy because I think both of us created different energies because we're here and there's not, you know, you've got to do certain things. And he realized that from home he can do as much or more than when he was traveling, going here, doing here, and all that. So it's helped him. I think we're both feeling the energy. And the other day that you asked me, I started thinking about, yes, I absolutely feel energy. I do feel energy. I feel energy all the time.
We both do.
Yeah, thank God.
But we can't measure what we feel.
No, of course not.
That's not the point. We will, as human beings, we will grow to be able to measure what we feel. You will be able to know that I'm making up numbers now, but you will be able to know that the chesed that you feel is on a scale of 5, and the gevurah you're feeling is on a scale of 2. Another day, you will be able to say that the gevurah is 5, and the chesed is 2. That will come. It's part of human development.
Yes.
It's part of human curiosity.
And
but right
and
now, it's not available to us.
No, but Hanok, there is something that I just feel this very well. Sometimes you get a curveball, like you think, and then when your ego is like, oh, I think, then you get a curveball. And you're completely wrong. But many times, like, if you connect to gratitude, thanking, to thanks, to how blessed we are, to blessing, to everything that's that kind of thing, immediately there's an energy that changes things. It's like you see it, you feel it. The day is different. Everything is different. It's like incredible. And then if you don't, sometimes you feel like, boy, this day is not like that. There's something like stuck. There's something there. And then you have to learn something and you have to change something and you have to do something. And then you try to connect again and then you can connect again.
You're absolutely right. And that's what makes this life beautiful.
Yes, yes.
And it is time for me to go.
Yes, yes. Hanok, thank you. I'm so sorry what happened. And God willing, next Tuesday we do the same.
Yes.
And I'll be be right on time.
Very good.
Thank you. Sorry.
Not a problem. You take
care. Have a great day. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.